This is URN.
The Big Picture Breakdown.
URN, sorry for the late start of 6:10, but we had a fire alarm, so we had to get out for that. You can contact the show on 07903 545 252, or on Facebook and Twitter at URN1350, or send us a web... Is it a web text, people? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, like free that. Web text at www.urn1350.net. My name's Kate. I'm going to be the host of the show, and I'm going to introduce you to my friends from my left, starting with...
Phil.
Lizzie.
Lynette.
Eamon.
Lewis, hi.
Louis.
Emma.
Abby.
And we're going to talk about this week, starting off with Donald Trump. We're just over a week into Donald Trump's presidency, and it's fair to say that this week has been dominated by controversy. Following election promises for a temporary ban on Muslim immigration to the US, Donald Trump earlier this week signed an executive order requiring a temporary ban on nationals from Iraq, Syria, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen from entering the US. This had sparked international protests, and in Britain, a petition calling for Trump to be banned from a state visit to Britain later this year has reached well over a million signatures, which means that the issue now has to be debated in Parliament. In the US, several federal courts have ruled the executive action illegal, and Washington's state attorney general announced their intention to sue the president. Trump's executive order has caused significant reaction across the globe and has garnered significant criticism from the media. So my first question is, do you think that Donald Trump should be banned from coming to the UK on a state visit later this year, as can be expected? Who should I start with? Ooh, Lizzie.
Okay. So, yes, I do believe he should be banned, but no, not for the reasons that the petition is saying. The petition is ridiculous. Its literal title is, "We should ban Donald Trump from coming to the UK because it would embarrass the Queen." That's ridiculous. However, I do believe that he has breached human rights and should not be allowed into the UK, although I do know this won't happen because he has diplomatic immunity.
Phil?
You say breaching human rights, but obviously no one batted an eyelid when the Saudi princes came along, or the Chinese premier.
I mean, I think
premier.
They did, and with China they had huge protests. You can't just make sweeping statements like that,
okay,
Phil.
Okay, let him finish.
It just happens we just pick and choose who we like to ban. But in short, no, we shouldn't ban him because we need a Brexit deal and we need to be kind of selfish here. I know it sounds bad, but we need to get a good deal. Brexit needs to become a success. And quite frankly... nothing's been proved yet that he's broken any international laws, and the Attorney General has.
He signed
an executive order which is constitutionally sound. Obama did the same, so maybe we should look to Obama for problems. Go.
Obama did not do the same. Obama, okay, did. He introduced a six-month ban, okay, and it was only because two actual terrorists got through the vetting system, so they had to redo the vetting system. It wasn't a ban, just got backlogged because they had to re-vet everyone they'd already vetted for visas. Secondly, okay, actually the UN has come out and outrightly stated that this is against human rights. Human rights is a code by which all countries have signed up to and therefore can be implemented as a law.
Okay, Eamon.
Okay, now I'm done.
I think that President Trump, as the democratically elected president of the United States of America, our closest and most important ally, should be honoured with a state visit. Yeah. Purely for the fact that I believe, in my heart of hearts, that although this travel ban is heinously wrong, it's obvious that although he says it's not a Muslim travel ban, it is a Muslim travel ban if you're saying that 9 Muslim majority countries are not allowed to enter, those citizens aren't allowed to enter unless they are a religious minority, i.e. not Muslim, it's obviously a Muslim ban. But he is the president of the United States of America, and he has been invited by the Queen of the United Kingdom to attend this country. That is the office that has been invited by the other office. It's not a person being invited by another person, if you look at it in real terms. So, in 4 years' time, he might not be the president, but the relationship is still going to be there. So I think that we need to, as with anything, and this whole thing I agree with Lizzie about, it's going to embarrass the Queen. She's danced with Robert Mugabe and Eastern European dictators, so I hardly think that the president of our most important allies going to embarrass her. He embarrasses himself. He doesn't. The Queen and the Queen can just look so much more amazing in front of him.
Can I just quickly point out before we move on that the it was actually written by a 13-year-old. So I think we do need to be like less worried about the technical wordage. But
it's been signed by nearly 1.8 million people. But it also needs to be stated, I think, that a contrary petition has reached like 250,000 signatures saying that he should come, which is, so both are going to be debated in Parliament now, which seems absurd.
Okay.
I agree. I think the problem is now is that we're in a time where we can't afford to, especially when Britain's in such a precarious position economically with Brexit happening, and we need to make some sort of deals and arrangements, not just economically, but diplomatically as well. I think we live in this sort of, it's sort of realpolitik again, where it's terrible what he has proposed and what he has put through executive order, but I don't think Theresa May has a choice particularly. I think she has. I think in order to get more of an ear to Donald Trump, she has to do this sort of thing. And Donald Trump's going to lap up this pageantry. He's going to love it. He's going to think it's what he deserves. He thinks it's like some sort of show of respect for America. So, you know, if it allows Britain to at least have some influence and tone it down, maybe, and also to protect British interests, I think it's something that is a necessity rather than something that you can choose to do or not do.
Okay, Lynette.
Yeah, I have to agree with Lewis. The Queen is our biggest diplomatic asset, and I think by her inviting Donald Trump and creating a special relationship with the Donald Trump administration, it gives us a position where if we do have an issue with a lot of his policies or some of his policies, that we can like try and tone that down as much as possible in diplomatic ways. Being somebody's friend on the political arena is much, you're in a much better position to be able to change their mind or to be able to affect their decision making rather than if you're against them entirely. And I think Theresa May is in a really difficult position because understandably there are a lot of abhorrent things that he's doing right now, and I disagree with many of them, but it is in the British interest to work with him and maintain this special relationship.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's a really very risky idea to cut off ties with Donald Trump. However, I think what does need to be made very, very clear is that Britain is not on the same wavelength as he is, considering the fact that he has said many times how Britain is like one of his most important countries, how we sort of have the same, not the same views, but he's sort of talked Britain up a lot, and I think that doesn't make us look good, and I think that's something that needs to be made clear.
Okay, back to Phil for one last comment on this
question. Two minor points. You know, when Sadiq Khan says he's disgusted by this, he's quite comfortable going to a gathering where a Muslim countries ban Israelis. So I think we need to look at the hypocrisy there. And also, it's not a Muslim ban because he hasn't banned India, he hasn't banned Pakistan, countries with the highest amount of Muslims per capita. So quite frankly, it's not a Muslim ban. And you could say he's quite frankly just extending what Obama started in the first place.
So by that token, as a question, since I'm not biased today, do you think then that he's going back on his election promise? Because his election promise was clearly to ban Muslims. Amen.
So basically, I get really confused when people are so shocked by something that they've been hearing about for the last year and a half that he was going to implement if he was elected. And the fact that actually the policy is extraordinarily popular with the American public. The American public are so behind him. It just seems that the media within Europe is what is actually we're witnessing, especially in Britain, that everyone's against it. And actually, there was a poll released today that nearly half of people in the UK want the state visit to go ahead, and only a third don't want it to go ahead. So my question would be really, it's a massive media blow up.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Yeah. Do you think the media representation of Trump's executive order is fair?
Well, the thing is, if you look to 8 years ago, Barack Obama used the same kind of way of getting things through. he used his executive order, and they were referring to him as a monarch, as a king, and that he was totally pushing through this executive or these executive orders with no foresight for the legislative powers that be. And I think that it's quite hypocritical. I mean, it shouldn't have been done in the first place with him, because obviously it didn't go as far as it is. But if you're going to, if the liberals, in quote, are going to aggravate the Trump administration by doing this, then you can't get annoyed that the conservatives did that for Obama 8 years ago. So I think there is a hypocrisy going around in every situation that we talk about with this thing.
I think there's a slight difference when we're talking about hypocrisy. Yes, Obama used executive orders. He used it to introduce healthcare to wide people, wide swathes of the populace. Donald Trump using executive orders to ban people based on their religion.
But executive orders based on things that are really popular and things that...
I don't think the popularity of something by, you know, the people gives anyone
just
really...
Because they're popular doesn't mean they're not wrong.
So well, I didn't say that, but okay. I'm saying that if he's the president of a democratically elected office, then he is putting thought forward things that have been on the table for a year and a half. He is using that... I'm not saying that what he's doing is right. What he's doing is awful and totally immoral and against UN law and everything that you should stand for as a decent human being. But he's doing things, it's popular with the American public, but what he's doing is exactly the same process as what Obama was doing. Despite what he's doing, the process is the same. So if you're going to attack it, you have to attack the process by which he's doing it from. And you can't say, oh, but we loved Obama and he did it this way. Well, the same issue applies.
Just coming in on your whole, but the American people want it. Like, up until 2 years ago, the majority of British people still wanted capital punishment. But there's a reason that we got rid of that, because it was wrong. And I think the same thing applies here. Just because the American people agree with a Muslim ban doesn't mean that it should exist. There's a reason why we elect people, representatives, to make our laws. And it's because that we need people to be rational and not to draw on fear and hatred to implement policy. It's why we have people who do research and are supposedly educated in these areas. It's why establishment politics exists in the first place. People who are trained to deal with these issues. It's one of the reasons that Trump is so scary, because he has no experience. And as a result, he's creating these populist policies that do not reflect what is best for America or best for the world in general.
Well, I suppose it is a 90-day thing. So he's putting this in place so that he can put vetting in place.
90-day for everywhere other than Syria, where it's just indefinite. He's put no timescale on it.
Well,
okay, so really quickly then, just before we go to break. So we're talking about executive orders, and we're talking about authority and who is voted to be in there. Do you think that Trump is committing an impeachable offence by overruling what a lot of the federal courts are saying?
I mean, in terms of law, he's not actually done anything wrong, because within the Constitution, you presidents, heads of state of America, can make executive orders. Now, you can't drag the head of state through the courts for an executive order that he's been empowered by, he's been elected to give. And as Eamon said, this is a popular measure in America. I'd also say, if you start dragging through the court and you let's say get rid of this ban, it will show that maybe the liberal side and the left side in America have got their own way, which is far more dangerous, I would suggest, to those protesting than just keeping it in place. Well, if you start aggravating the right again, then you might get more extreme policies, and I just think that maybe we should be careful what we wish for here.
Okay, just a teeny tiny point to come in there, that it isn't the executive order that people are upset about, it's the content. And whilst you can't impeach someone for making an executive order, you can for the content of that executive order.
This is URN.
The Big Picture Breakdown.